True healing is a spiritual process more than anything. And it's a spiritual reappropriation of self-love. You know, it's like we lose some of that love when we're programmed to not accept ourselves, not believe ourselves, and begin to be the egos that we've been.
83% of Americans identify as not very happy, which can hold you back and negatively affect your relationships and your business. On this podcast, we discuss the proven steps to happiness so you can restore balance and rekindle your joy.
Welcome to another episode of How to Be Happier for Entrepreneurs. I always say I'm excited, but I truly, truly am so excited because the gentleman we have on today has been kind of an inspiration and an idol to me. I first saw him on a documentary called The Way of Miracles on Gaia, and I was so happy to figure out that he had a book. So I bought the book a couple months ago and read that. So Mark Minkola, welcome to the show. How are you, my friend?
Brad, thanks for having me on. It's great to see you.
It's great to see you as well. So, oh my gosh, this could be a 3-hour, 24-hour podcast. So I'm going to jump right in and ask you some, I mean, there's so many questions I have, but let's start out by what inspired this book? I'm holding this book, The Way of Miracles. What inspired it? And can you share any personal experiences or stories that highlight the transformative power of all of this stuff that you teach that's so great?
Sure, Brad. The thing about this, Brad, is for the past 35 years, I've taken part in true, real living miracles, real honest to goodness living miracles. And people tend to feel a little disconnected from that concept. They say 80% of us believe in miracles, but 80% of us don't believe we can do it. So I'm not convinced that we have the ability that Mother Teresa has. And I think the objective is to say that you have to open up your heart to it, open up your mind to it, start practicing the process, unfolding with it, and see what happens. So for 35 years, I've done that. And I've had so many patients that had cancer, stage 3, stage 4 cancers, not just one or two, many, 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 many. Parkinson's disease, MS patients, all kinds of different sicknesses and illnesses and diseases. And I've turned so many of them around, Brad. I feel like I tripped on a treasure chest in the forest. And I want to share my treasure with people. The possibilities are endless. They're incredible.
Very similar to my story, but it didn't happen 35 years ago. It happened 3 years ago. And my life changed so profoundly. I'm like, oh my gosh, Mark, I've got to give this gift back that I have been given. Because just like you said, you tripped over this treasure pot, right? We were both given this incredible gift that so many people aren't aware of. So tell us more, like, what do you do with these clients that come to you that are so sick or so depressed or so anxious? What is it that you do that's so different than all the other years and years of therapy and medicine and everything that they've done?
There's a lot of remarkable capacities from deep within us. Remarkable. I say we suffer from an identity crisis. We don't know who we are. We think we're an ego. We think we're a personality. We think we're a physical form. We're so much more than that. We have this incredible capacity to make life so expansive, so remarkably expansive. We have the ability to save lives, to change lives, to remarkably alter the process of living in our own day-to-day lives. And it's like, we don't know that. We're not tapped into that all the time. We stumble upon it from time to time, but we're not really roped into it, not tapped into it. I think the key is this, that if you have the belief, I say miracles can either be rejected, miracles can be accepted, expected, or created. So again, miracles can be rejected, accepted, expected, or created. I say we want to create them. You don't want to take any other approach. Just believe in your ability to create and fire it up. And I think that's an important part of the process. I think we need to test our capacity to expand our properties. We have so many remarkable consciousness properties. We have so many different frequencies that we produce, so many different energies that we're capable of manufacturing on a day-to-day basis. We can change so many lives and can change our own lives so dramatically by tapping into that energy field, tapping into those amazing capacities to produce frequency and vibration. It's all about frequency and vibration. It's all about energy.
Because that's all we are, right, is energy.
That's what everything is.
Everything.
Everything is energy. Everything is energy.
So the desk that my laptop is sitting on, this is energy?
It's energy. Sure it is, of course. Everything is energy. Everything is energy. It's like everything has the capacity to be translated as either an atom-based substance, or of some particulate matter. Do you think everything is 99.999% energy? 99.999%. Not the opposite, which we used to think was true. So the idea is that no matter what it is we're talking about, we can approach it from an energy perspective.
So you had a quote in the book that I've used many, many times and quoted you on, and it is, you tell it, but it's self-contempt leads to disease, and that leads to what? Can you tell us about that?
The idea is that, again, starting from the perspective of we suffer from an identity crisis. We suffer from an identity crisis. We think we're egos. We think we're material beings with a name and a personality and a membership, and we're so much more than that. We're eternally soulful. We never die. You know, the real us can't die. We're just here visiting physically for a short time. And then that soul has to take up its travel, its journey. And the journey is eternal. It's endless. The soul's journey represents our true life, our true process, our true manifestation of self. So I think the key is this. You want to make sure that we are tuned into the fact that we're here to do something remarkable. We're not here just to pass time, to be humorous, to be rich, to be famous, to be popular. We're here to give, we're here to serve. We're here to produce energy that heals, energy that changes the process of our life process. We appreciate the fact that we don't have this set of limitations that we've been taught to believe in. We've been taught to believe in limitations. There are no limitations, none, there are none. We have the ability to transpose all that stuff, to transcend all of it.
I have a self-love quiz. If anyone wants to take it, it's at bradchandler.com/quiz. It's probably been taken, I don't know, 500 times. And only about 5% of people score extreme self-love. And most people, unfortunately, fall into the lack of self-love or the mild self-love. And the quote, if I remember it right, well, you say self-contempt is the opposite of self-love, and that leads to dis-ease.
I say self-contempt is the only mortal sin.
Tell me more.
Well, here's the thing. We have the identity crisis that we talked about. We're programmed to believe that we're not what we are. We're not tapped into our real true self. We're our souls, like I said a minute ago. And when you evaluate yourself, when you think about a soul, it's hard to be critical about a soul. It's hard to not like a soul. It's hard to not love a soul. Souls are beautiful. They're magnificent. They're airless, as I say. They're airless. They're perfect. So the idea is that you are that, but you're not all that. You're temporarily part something else while you're here. And I think most people tend to look at the mortal self, the human self, mistake maker. And they criticize it and they feel shameful about it. They don't appreciate it. And they criticize it from very negative perspectives. But when you think about yourself as a soul, as well as an ego, you're both while you're here. But that soulful part, if you tap into your true soulful self, it's hard to be critical. It's hard to not love it, not like it, and not to be blown away by its beauty.
So I don't go to the doctors a lot because fortunately I'm very healthy, but I've been to the doctors, I don't know, for colds and flus and different surgeries 100 times. I don't know that I've ever been asked by a doctor, what is your stress level or what is your level of self-contempt or self-love or what was your childhood like? Why do you think that we don't get asked those questions when it sounds like based on your book, those are so important?
I think medicine has become very scientific, which is fine. It's fine that it's scientific, but it needs to be more than that. To be scientific and then to be heartfelt is a little bit better idea for me. So I think the process of medicine in today's world that we live in, it's all about diagnosing the condition. It's all about tapping into the mechanical processes of diagnostics, running blood tests, running all kinds of different electromagnetic tests and things like that. So it's technical, it's scientific, which is fine, but it's not just scientific. We need to be understood and appreciated as souls, like I said a minute ago, as wounded children. We still have so many different wounds in our inner being from our childhood experience. We spend a lifetime trying to heal from those things. We need their help. We need their input. We need their support. We need their participation in our lives and our unfoldment. And I think it's important to tap into the fact that sickness and disease is very broad spectrum. It's very broad spectrum. It's not as train track as people think. It's not simple. People need to be addressed as souls, as human beings with deeper presence emotionally, spiritually. And I think they need to be tapped into energetically.
Do you get a lot of pushback, Mark, from kind of the established medical community when they hear you speak about these things?
No, I've been blessed. I've been blessed, Brad. Just recently, I had a group that basically is an oncology group. They're a medical oncology group. They're a big group. They meet all around the country. They're changing lives. They're amazing people. They saw my movie. And they contacted me. They asked me if I'd make presentations and join the party. They want me to bring my input in terms of natural medicine from a cancer perspective. I said, God, this is crazy. The world would have never done this 5 years ago, 3 years ago, 2 years ago.
That is freaking awesome. Good job. Good job. So if someone's listening to this who's struggling with, do you mostly have clients attracted to you that have these illnesses, or do you get just as many people with the depression and the anxiety states?
They're inseparable. We think of healing as a holistic process, and it is indeed. But disease is holistic as well. So disease has to be taken into consideration from the broader perspective of emotion, spirit, thought, feelings, perceptions, awareness at deeper consciousness levels. I mean, that's all part of the equation. So I think disease has to be thought of holistically, just as healing and wellness are, no different.
So I guess that's a good segue into, in the book, you discuss quite a bit about the mind-body-spirit healing triangle. Can you explain this concept and how can people listening actually apply that into their own lives to achieve miraculous healing?
It's impossible for people to accomplish any true healing without tapping into the holistic nature of it. What do you think about imagination? Let's just start with imagination. The anterior cingulate cortex, the part of the brain that is the anterior cingulate cortex, has the ability to mimic reality and respond in a very interesting format. They did studies at Harvard. So they took a bunch of subjects. They wired them up to 256 electrodes. They wired them up to the electrodes. And none of them ever played the piano before. They knew nothing about music, never took a piano lesson in their lives. They just banged out and made noise. While they were doing that, they actually checked the electrodes. And then they had the experts come in, the impresarios, and they played their Bach and Beethoven and Mozart. And they found the same exact spots lit up in the brain. No difference whatsoever. The anterior cingulate cortex, whether it's hearing it, imagining it, pretending it, dreaming it, it's all reality.
Incredible. That reminds me of a story where they took a bunch of weightlifters and they had a subset lift weights, and then they had a subset not lift weights, but they imagined lifting weights. And the people who imagine it, their muscle mass actually increased.
No doubt about it. I've seen studies like that. They're incredible. So your anterior cingulate cortex is a reality maker. It's a reality creator. It's amazing. So I think that when you think about the process of healing and you think about the process of holism, the whole concept of holism is taking body, mind, spirit, the whole picture, the entire being, all the aspects of the being, and to understand that those all serve us in terms of producing energy that actually defines the process of breakdown and the process of building back up again. So everything is created and everything is destroyed constantly, continuously. And the consciousness at a higher level knows exactly how that works.
Yeah, that was a pretty interesting concept. Everything's always breaking down and just being destroyed and coming back. Wow, that is so interesting.
Always.
So in the book, you say that the self cannot be whole without love. Why and what happens when self-love is absent?
Like I said, self-contempt. Ironically, it's been what we've been weaned on. We live in a very critical culture. This culture is very critical, obviously. And we were graded from the earliest times about performance. And when you think about that, as young kids, you've struck out in your Little League game. You got a C in an exam and your dad's upset with you. You know, these are parts of American reality. And I think that we've taken so many hits that way from within ourselves. And we feel criticized from within ourselves. We tend to be negative on our own behalf, so to speak. And I think it's really important to take the time to understand that that's part of self-contempt that's been programmed. It's been heavily programmed. It's been deeply programmed in us. That whole process has got to be turned over. True healing is a spiritual process more than anything. And it's a spiritual reappropriation of self-love. It's like we lose some of that love when we're programmed to not accept ourselves, not believe ourselves, and begin to be the egos that we've been. I think we need to understand and appreciate that we're a higher self, like I said, a soul self, a concept of divine. And I think our divine nature is decidedly different. And the divine nature is so lovable. It's so profoundly lovable, so beautiful. And I think we tap into the beauty and the lovability of our soul and things turn around. That's where life changes.
Mark, is there a practice or a process that one can go from self-contempt to self-love?
Yeah, I think there is. I think that there's a lot of ways to do that. I think I've talked a lot about the frequencies and dimensions. The fifth dimension is an amazing dimension of consciousness. The fifth dimension, you can accomplish anything you want, anything. So it's where you go from being the meditator to the meditation. It's when you go from the prayer to the divine. It's when you elevate your game. And it's like this fifth dimension. This is what I refer to as manifestation of samadhi. Samadhi is the highest mind. Samadhi is like enlightenment. So the idea is you can actually work at your enlightenment by tapping into dimensions and working with frequencies. So it's like frequencies, there are 9 solfeggio frequencies. They're powerful energies. And it's like meditating, but it's deeper than that. If you meditate while you're being exposed to a frequency that's a super conscious frequency, like something like 285 cycles per second, 852, 863, 306, 639, those are all powerful frequencies. They've all been measured and studied intensively. When we meditate and do deep breathing, and do our energy work, our spiritual works, while we're in the presence of these frequencies, we've accomplished tremendous changes. It's incredible how much we can change for the better.
Wow. So to get to the fifth dimension, we do meditation while listening to those frequencies. That's one of the ways to get there?
That's exactly right. There's a great place, the EOC Institute. They have the purest vibrational frequencies. If you want to study this, if you want to work with this, go to the EOC Institute.
EOC Institute. Okay. Can you explain the difference between the unconscious and the subconscious mind?
The conscious mind, first of all, is our day-to-day awareness. Conscious mind is day-to-day awareness. Subconscious is mind stored deeper awareness, and it's recallable. You can get it back again. You can remember it. You can recall it. The unconscious mind is stored information that is unrecallable. You can't get it back. Once it's gone, it's gone. And then you got superconscious. That's when you merge with consciousness in the universe. The universe is divine. When you converge your consciousness with the universal consciousness, that's a superconsciousness. So I think there's the 4 states. Conscious mind, again, is day-to-day awareness. Subconscious mind is when your deeper awareness can be recalled. You can recall it and remember it. So unconscious, you can't remember it, you can't recall it. It's gone. It's gone forever. And finally, the superconscious is when you merge with divine.
So unconscious, your brain can't remember it, but does your body remember it?
Yes. That's a great point. That's a very good point. There's something called muscle memory. You've probably heard about that. When you study kinesiology, any kind of anatomical healing studies, like kinesiology, you find that there's memory process in the muscles. Muscles all remember, they remember everything. They never forget anything. Unfortunately, part of the reason you don't want to remember it is because it's painful. Part of the reason you shut it down is because you don't want to connect with it. You want to forget about it. So there's muscle memory that's actually very steeped in painful response.
So you speak a lot, Mark, about autoimmune diseases. I think you outlined there's over 100 autoimmune diseases. Can you speak a little bit to the topic of autoimmune
diseases? Sure. There's 151 autoimmune diseases. Now, what is autoimmune? Autoimmune disease is a disease where we actually attack ourselves. We attack our immune system. You know, usually you think of your immune system as protecting you, defending you, and attacking the bad guys, the viruses, the bacteria, and all that stuff. But autoimmune is the opposite of that. Autoimmune is when you're attacking yourself, breaking down your own immune system. Why does that happen? There's two different nervous systems in the human body. There's sympathetic and parasympathetic. Sympathetic is fight or flight. Parasympathetic is relaxation, meditation. So there's two decidedly different platforms there. And you want to think in terms of the idea that you produce inflammation after you engage in a lot of autoimmune inflammation. So that's from the adrenal glands. It's all about adrenals. So fight or flight is adrenal. If you feel that adrenaline coursing through your body, that adrenal stress, that's anxiety, that's all fight or flight. And that's it gears the emotion up and it gears the energy up through the nervous system. Neuromuscular nervous system gets engaged at a higher level. It's adrenal. It's all adrenal. Autoimmune is adrenal. It's stress-based.
So this is a point I couldn't figure out in the book that you can help me with. Does stress trigger inflammation and then the inflammation triggers the autoimmune?
72% of all diseases is inflammatory.
Whoa.
So there's foods like peanuts, egg yolks, dairy products, sugar. They're all inflammatory. Those are inflammatory. Now, here's what causes that. There's something called arachidonic acid. Arachidonic acid produces COX-2 hormones. That's how you set up the chemistry of inflammation. And if you set up that chemistry, again, I'll say that again, too many peanut butter sandwiches, too much red meat, too much dairy products, egg yolks, they're going to produce high concentration of arachidonic acid, COX-2 hormones. Those chemistries are going to set you into a negative tailspin. Your immune system starts taking a dip. And then when it tries to recover itself, it overreacts because it can't stop that stuff. So it becomes overreactive. That's when you get autoimmune.
I was actually shocked reading the book. It's probably been now about 4 or 5 months that peanut butter was an inflammatory and I got rid of my peanut butter. And I hope you're going to tell me it's okay. I replaced it with almond butter. Is that okay?
It's a much better choice. Much better choice.
Is it still an inflammatory?
Very mildly so. I'll tell you why. Peanuts have arachidonic acid. Almonds don't. Almonds don't have arachidonic acid. Arachidonic acid is the principal inflammatory. But listen to this. Nuts are still fungal, aren't they? They still come from fungal property backgrounds. They grow on trees. They collect moisture in there. They grow in a shell, don't they?
Yep.
What is that shell for? What did nature put them in a shell for?
Protection.
Protect them from heat and water. What do? We take them out of the shell, right?
Yep.
So by taking them out of the shell, you remove their protection. You're the one that needs the protection after that.
Interesting. So
moisture produces, they're fungal foods, mold-based foods. Mold becomes fungus. Don't forget that. Mold becomes fungus. When mold's outside and you take it in your body, whether you're breathing in moldy air or eating moldy foods, your mold becomes processed within your chemistry as fungal. Mold becomes fungus. So the nuts in general become fungal. Now, some are worse than others. Almonds aren't too bad. Almonds aren't that bad.
Interesting.
Enjoy them.
All right. So you've worked with over 1,000 clients. I know this is going to be a tough question, but does one client stand or a couple clients? I just want like a story of a client that came to you that was in terrible shape and now is just like their life is thriving. Can you share one of those stories with us?
First of all, I've worked on 60,000.
60,000?
60,000.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, that's the number. So yeah, I mean, there's some interesting stories I had along the way, but I think my most fascinating story, one that I remember always, is I have a woman who is actually about 45 years old. And she was diagnosed with breast cancer, stage 4 breast cancer. And she was determined to beat it. She had 2 little girls at home. She's a lovely mom. And she was absolutely heartsick about this diagnosis. So she was on a ski trip one day. She went on a ski trip. And as she went on the ski trip, she was determined to try to feel better, try to get her spirits lifted up. She said, I'm with my family. I love my family. We're on a trip together. We're vacationing. I'll be happy. So they all started skiing down the hill. So she decided, she said, I feel pretty good today. I don't feel too bad. I'm going to try getting on some skis. She got on some skis and went down the bunny slope. She cried when she went down the bunny slope. She cried her eyes out with joy, with happiness. She said she just felt so good. And she got this feeling as she was skiing down the bunny slope, tears pouring from her eyes. She was determined that this was going to be the turnaround time in her life. She was going to beat the disease, beat the cancer, and be healthy again. And that was the day that her life turned around. She became healthy because that little ski trip down the bunny slope, her life changed. She became, within 3 weeks, her cancer was remissed, gone.
Wow.
And I didn't do that. She did that. I create the environment. I create the environment for it. I support it. I uplift it. I create the environment, reinforce it every way I can. But she did the job. She did the heavy lifting. She saved her life. and she saved her life with her mind.
So what advice would you have to someone listening who's tried everything and they're in a really, really bad spot in their life right now?
I think you first of all want to remind yourself that you are not with limits. You have no limitations. So don't accept the limitations. Don't get programmed by your negative self, negative voices in you, or anybody around you, or the world. The world's pretty negative right now. And people start off with their own negative information circulating through their mind, and the world kind of pushes it deeper. This world's a tough world right now. I think you want to make sure that you stay elevated as high as you can, stay spiritually as imbued, as strong, as powerful, as limitless, as convinced, and as self-loved oriented as you can get. You want to program all that every day, every minute of your life. It works. It's for real. It's positive. It happens. It makes a difference. And we've got the science to prove it now. You know, when I started doing this 35, 40 years, we didn't have the science. We had the science now to prove it. So we're not just blowing smoke here. We're getting something good.
And love yourself. I love the part in your book where you say, if you lack self-love, go get a picture of your six-year-old self. And every time you look at it, think of the words innocence and deservedness.
That's right. Yes.
I freaking love that.
That's a really powerful process when you think about that. Anytime you look at an innocent child, you could feel the innocence. You could feel their presence in that way. That regard is so sensitive, so powerful. The sensitivity is so powerful that it's undeniable. And you feel instinctually that you want to help them. You want to give to them. You want to love them. You want to care for them. You want to forgive them. You want to tap into their heart and fill their heart with love and light. And it's so important to do that. And I think you have to realize that you're in that population. That's who you are. You still have that wounded child inside. You still have those hurts, those substances. Those experiences that were so difficult growing up. You still have those. You're still wounded. Love those wounds. Heal those wounds with your love.
Yes. When you feel that negative emotion, it's that little six-year-old boy or girl inside you. So how would you treat them if that little six-year-old walk up to you? You wouldn't say, go drink a beer or suck it up. You're terrible. You'd pick them up and you'd love them. That's what you need to do to yourself. You need to love and have compassion for yourself so that you can heal your inner wounds.
When you check those pictures out of yourself at 5 years old, 6 years old, you'll see in the eyes, you'll see it in your face, your posture, and your body. You'll see the innocence and the deservedness. You'll see, you'll feel it, the innocence and deservedness. You want to send that child the flood of innocence and deserving, flood of love to heal up that innocence and that deserving nature of innocence and deservedness. It's powerful. It's incredible.
So, Mark, what are you up to now? You're actually helping clients, but you're also teaching people your methods. Is that right? So more people can spread your knowledge and...
Absolutely right. That's exactly right. We're starting classes again on the 4th of March. We've done a series of class programs over the past 3 years. We last 8 weeks, and it's like 2-hour classes for 8 weeks. They're incredible. We teach the system. It's about legacy now. It's about sharing. It's about serving. It's about legacy. It's about taking the celebrated life that I've had and just making sure that the world has a big smile on its face for what I'm about to share with it.
So who are you teaching and what are you teaching?
I'm teaching allied professionals, acupuncturists, scientists of all kinds, people who've studied chemistry, people who've studied physics, people who've studied and done well with their practices of chiropractics, acupuncture, all the above. So we've taught them, and what we're teaching them is my system. It's a very detailed system, like no other system in the world, like no other system. It's the whole health healing system, Brad. And the key to the system is this. It's individualized. It's not one size fits all. When you think about the present medical system, everybody gets the same pills, everybody gets the same treatment, everybody gets the same process. It's like we're sending cattle down the lane, you know, it's no good. So I think we need to realize that we have a beautiful system that makes all the difference in the world in that regard. And it's individualized. Quite individualized. And the other thing is, it's energy-based. Everything in this world, including the world of medicine, is not energy-based. It's material-based. It's about physical, not physical. So we want to make sure you understand the two important changes we made, addressing everybody individualistically, we're dealing with energy, not just matter. Big difference. I mean, think about it. Einstein said the world is 99.999% energy. Why is our medical system 99.9% matter-based? What's the deal? We're missing the boat there completely. And you see it in my day-to-day work. It's the energy that actually touches hearts. It's the energy that touches souls. It's the energy that sees through the heartache and pain. It's all energy. And the energy is caring more. It's mattering more. It's getting in touch with the deeper processes of yourself and your patient. And that's energy. And it is energy. And it's all about energy.
Yeah, unfortunately, we're seeing in all the numbers too, right? 33% of Americans on antidepressant or anti-anxiety drugs. And I think 70% of Americans are on a prescription drug. And I think 60% are on two prescription drugs.
It's incredible.
It really is.
And 219 people a day die from prescription drugs.
Yeah. Wow.
219 a day, more than die in car accidents.
Wow. So if you're sitting there asking yourself, do I have self-contempt? Do I lack self-love? And you want to know in 12 questions in 3 minutes, just go to bradchandler.com/quiz and take this quick quiz. Mark, this book, Way of Miracles, I've said it twice now. This is an amazing book. Do I understand you're getting ready to write another book?
I'm 40 pages into my eighth book.
Whoa. Where can someone get this Way of Miracles book that's in my hand right now?
Amazon.com. And they can get it from our website too. Our website is markmancola.com. And they can also get it from publishers, right? I'm not sure if the publishing company.
So markmancola.com, I was just on there. I saw those on there. So if you're interested in connecting with Mark, or as a client or a practitioner, if you want to learn his methods, thank goodness, because I'm going to take it. I'm a little too busy right now, but I'm going to either later this year or next year. I love what you do. And it's part of what I want to do is get people to a healthy state. So markmincola.com is where you can find Mark. Mark, is there anything in closing that you'd like to share that I haven't already asked you?
I think just the key is we want to make sure that we tap into the fact that we're more than we think we are. That's the key. The key is we think we're just what we are, and we're not. We're not that. We're not that. Stop being what you aren't. It's time to be who you came to be. And that's my quote. It's time to be that person that you came to be. And there's a deep you. There's a profoundly expansive you. There's a limitless you. There's an infallible you. There's a beautiful you. There's a lovable you. There's a bright light in you. There's a soul shining from you that came to change the world. Don't wait another minute.
Yeah, your birth was a miracle in itself, right? That one sperm met that one egg at the right time. So you are no mistake. You have a massive mission on this earth. So despite what you're telling yourself or what others have told you throughout your life, you have a massive mission here. And if you can just believe what Mark says, believe in yourself and know that you were put here to do some amazing stuff. Mark, you have done some amazing stuff for this planet. So I wanted to end by thanking you. I'm so grateful to have come in your life and have been enjoying our conversations via text. And man, I can't wait to see what the future holds for you and your journey.
Thank you, Brad. You do an amazing job yourself. You're incredible. You're a great communicator. You've brought so many beautiful learning forms into the public's eye. It's great. You serve the public in a beautiful way. Keep up the great work.
Thank you. Thank you. That concludes another episode of How to Be Happier for Entrepreneurs. I am on a mission to help 1 million people. I need your help. So if you like this content, if you can share it, if you can like it, if you can rate it, review it, whatever you can do to help me spread this message. And Mark's message is so important. So the more that you can rate and review, the more that message will get out. Until next time, remember, love heals all.
Hit subscribe if you don't want to miss out on more life-changing content. And if you're struggling, you don't have to. Go to bradchandler.com/contact. There, you can join the Facebook community of like-minded entrepreneurs, and you'll see a button to schedule your freedom and happiness call. See you on the next episode.